Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you here to the Mentor Skills Workshop today, and a special warm welcome to those who are on the webinar. I understand there are about 70 of you registered, so you're actually outnumbering us in the room here. This session is being recorded and it is going to be interactive. Webinar attendees, I know that you've been given instructions in terms of how to ask questions and also how to interact with us in the room here. Well, my name is Gloria Yu. I'm a director in Deloitte and I'm a member of the Institute's Leadership and Career Development Committee. I also have the privilege of being the convener of the Institute's Mentoring Program Working Group. The Leadership and Career Development Committee supports the ongoing development of the leadership skills within ACTRES. And one of the ways we do this is through the mentoring program. So why is mentoring important? Well, mentoring is regarded as a core experience of members of the actuarial profession in Australia. It forms a highly valued source of professional development, both for mentors as well as mentees. And importantly, it also links directly to the ACTRES Institute's first three strategic goals. And so in case you don't remember what those three goals are, they are number one, best practice education and lifelong learning. Two, improved member and student engagement. And three, having more influence and being better known. So while mentoring relationships outside our program are encouraged, our program represents an excellent starting point and also a helpful framework. This is the fifth year we've been running the mentoring program, and some of you have been involved in 1 year or multiple years. So I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for the support that you've been giving to the program, and I trust that you have benefited from it as well. So we've advertised this workshop as being open to all people who have either registered for the Institute's program or those who are aspiring to be mentors in the future. So I might do a straw poll here for those of you in the rooms. So hands up those of you who have signed up for this year's ACTRES Institute's mentoring program. Okay, a few hands up. Keep your hands up if you have already been approached by a mentee. A few, not as many as I expected, okay. And so presumably those of you who don't have your hand up, you're looking to become mentors later on. Who actually attended the Mental Skills Workshop last year and you're here for a bit of a refresher? Oh, everyone's new, excellent. Well, good news is that you're all at the right place. And we are in for a treat for the next hour or so because we have two very special guests, Martin Mulcair and Warwick Hearn. So without further ado, let me introduce them. Martin Mulcair is an FIAA who's currently enjoying a portfolio of activities where the common theme is that he loves sharing ideas. He has been involved in the mentoring program since its inception in 2013 and is a keen supporter of the concept. Many of you may also recognise Martin from his facilitation of the professionalism course as part of the ACTRES Institute. Now, Warwick. Warwick started his career in financial services at MLC some 50 years ago and has focused on business systems and technology throughout his career. For the last 15 years, he has coached CEOs and senior executives with similar responsibilities in financial services. And this continues in his role as chairman of Delta Plan, where he partners with his daughter, who is a managing director. So over to you, Martin and Warwick.
Thanks, Gloria. We're going to keep Warwick on the leash for now, and he'll be up to speak in a little while. I've got three objectives today. The first is to give you a little bit of understanding about mentoring, what it's about, benefits, skills. Secondly, to manage some expectations about the mentoring program, although with a minority here involved, and I wish I could see the hands of the people on the webinar as to how many people are involved in the current program. We may not put as much emphasis on that objective. And the third objective is to actually practice some key skills. And already spoken to Steve, who looked horrified at the idea of a role play. So I assure you there will be nothing in front of people. Okay, so you can relax about that. Although I did note that nobody came back from last year's workshop. Let me start, as we often do with, I normally start with purpose, but look, Gloria's already done purpose. So let me just do a definition after week. So I said three objectives, but if we want to see the five parts, overview, the program, core skills, practice, and we will have an opportunity at several points to pause for questions. So when I say pause for questions, people on the webinar, given there are more of you, we're expecting more questions from you than on the floor. And Jess from the Institute team is looking forward to reading out some of your comments, questions, and contributions. So we'll be looking forward to supplementing what we have here with your comments and questions. So let's quick... Oh, what's that? Definition. You can read better than I can. Where did the word mentoring come from? So as you can read, mentoring has a very long tradition with a basis way back in ancient Greece and Greek mythology. So why mentoring? Now, given we're talking to a group of actuaries, you probably want to dispute the percentages on that slide, the 10%, 20%. I mean, there's not a lot of science to that, although most are based in some sort of past research, which we're quoting there. Irrespective of the exact number, you think about how you progress, the three ways that we learn, develop, how we develop our skills, how we become more competent, and how we behave in our role. And forgetting the percentages for now, we believe that mentoring plays a key part in driving the last two. And if you dispute the percentages, we would argue that those last two are the biggest drivers of the success of your career. So under the heading of why mentoring, what might be benefits for mentees? Now these are reasonably obvious, so I'll start with the easy question of why would a mentee sign up for the program, or more broadly, given we've got a lot of people involved in mentoring outside the program, why would anybody seek a mentor? I've got a list, but I'd like to check from the people here, and that's why we've got Jennifer, who can't wait to put her sandwich down and use her microphone, to get some thoughts. And Karen was the first one here, and she said she'd love to answer the first question as long as an easy one. So here's an easy one. Give me one benefit from mentee. One benefit for a mentee?
Gaining a difference of opinion, or hearing someone who has a different opinion.
Okay, so getting a different opinion. Getting a different, and what might be the benefit of that different opinion? Steve, why would anybody be a mentee? Why would you want to seek a different sort of opinion? What's one benefit of getting a different view if you're a mentee?
Gives you someone to discuss it with, to understand pros and cons, and they might just have experiences that you haven't, so they can offer a different insight or a different perspective that you hadn't even thought of.
So perfect. We can get an opinion from other people, and given their wisdom gained from their different experience, perhaps more experience, but different experience, then that's going to add value with Steve's word, insights to help you with your decision making. I'll get a third one. While we're staying in the back row, showing it's not safe. Is it Kim hiding in the corner? One benefit for a mentee.
You get to broaden your network and meet other people, so that ultimately helps you develop your career as you go along, because you actually get to meet people who you wouldn't necessarily meet in the ordinary course of your employment.
Perfect. All right. Another different type of benefit This isn't about just getting some wisdom, guidance, insights, another opinion, but what this does in expanding our network. And that network may be valuable, as Kim says, as we progress our career. And it's just the fun of meeting other people. Who likes meeting other people? Great, the other people here at 12 o'clock. All right, so here's my list. You can read better than I can. So there's a couple of additional thoughts there. I think the last one is one that hasn't come up in previous years that when we've gone around thinking. It's partly through your own work with the mentor, the idea of applying some discipline to managing time to keep your commitments, managing some discipline to deliver some of the things you might have promised, agreed with your mentor. And just the sitting down with someone, explaining the situation, listening, that would improve our communication skills. That's the only one I'd expand on. Harder question. So might be benefits for mentors. When we first establish the program, in fact, any organisation establishes a program, they think about, well, what are the benefits going to be for the mentees? But in my opinion, there always has to be a what's in it for me for the mentors. So for who put their hand up and said they've signed up as a mentor? Okay, thank you for volunteering. David, what's one benefit of being a mentor?
Just the opportunity to influence someone else's career and share your advice with them and hopefully help them.
Okay, opportunity to share and help others, the altruistic approach. Bo, you want a selfish approach to this as well as the altruistic one? What's another benefit?
Actually, it's a lot more selfish than that. I think for me, it's a reality check. So basically, it's to bring me back into the world. Someone else is sort of going through a different life stage and learn from them what I missed.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's from a learning, selfishly learning purpose.
So Bo's put forward a really interesting thought there, that we think of the mentees doing the learning and the mentors doing the sharing, but Bo's reminded us that the mentor has a wonderful opportunity to learn. And of course, it requires a certain amount of humility to accept that there may be things I may have missed along the way. Or for us old people, new things that have emerged, been developed or applied that we may learn from the mentee. So it's not just, as David said, you know, being able to share and help other people, but also we can learn at the same time. We'll go for one other one here. Oh, sorry, on the webinar, people who have signed up as a mentor, you might type in, because Jess can't wait to speak, one benefit you see of being a mentor, or specifically, why did you express interest in being a mentor? That's your question. You can answer while we take one more here. Who put their hand up and said they've signed up? No, come on, you can't not volunteer now. Ray, did I see your hand? So Ray was the second person here, so it's only fair that he's demonstrating his enthusiasm. So Ray, one other benefit. So besides helping people, learning, what's another benefit of being a mentor?
I'm pretty sure I can expense the coffee.
Okay. So not only use it as an excuse for a coffee break, not only enjoy the coffee, but also claim it back as a legitimate business expense. Okay, so I'll just focus on the first element of that. The opportunity of just having a break from our day-to-day dust storm and being able to devote some time to somebody else might be a good way of refreshing our brain, if not our soul, while we're spending 40, 50, 60 hours in a demanding workplace. That might be another benefit. Jess, have we got another benefit from the webinar? See, one of the other problems I have is I don't know how many people are there. So I don't know whether I'm talking to 60 people, 16 or 6. So I would, having had a practice and getting nothing, I'm looking forward to an answer to the next questions when they come along. Here's my list. I'm going to do this one by one because they're not quite as obvious. So the first is pretty much David said, right? So we're developing other people's skills, as David said, but we're also developing our own. In fact, for these things, the coaching, empathy, listening, that's what a mentor I would like to think might start with some of those, but I would almost guarantee they will certainly be enhanced. I'd like to think that working with another person, as David said, helping them gives us some degree of personal satisfaction. I'd like to think not just the altruistic sense of helping somebody, but helping somebody in this profession gives us a different type of satisfaction. I'd also like to think that the mentee posing a question for us gives us an opportunity, not just reflecting on their problem, but the extent to which that might apply to me. So opportunity to reflect on the issue. Also, and we'll talk about this towards the end, in seeking feedback from the mentee, you know, what's been valuable about this conversation, what's been useful in this relationship, just that type of feedback from your mentee could also be valuable for your reflection and a personal evaluation. Warwick will talk about the nature of the relationship. So it ain't guaranteed to be a trusting and committed long-term relationship. Nevertheless, this is one of the potential benefits for a mentor, that this is a different type of relationship to that we have outside work or inside our workplace. Same as the mentee one, just getting someone else's perspective, and whether that be for learning, as Bo said, or just a different thought pattern or prompts for us, either way, the different perspective is valued. And this is the current generation for us old people, having some younger people teaching us some of the newfangled ways of thinking. Or even if it's not thinking in a technical sense, it's just having a chat with them about how they're using phones, weapons, social media could be valuable for a mentor. And last but not least, for both the mentee and the mentor, yeah, this all qualifies for CPD points. Excellent. So we're delighted. Thank you for taking up the invitation. So Jess, what contribution do we have?
So we have Tim from Suncorp. He said that the joy of seeing someone grow.
Wow. Wow. What a good expression. The joy of seeing someone grow. Yep.
And Julian has also written in saying, understand issues facing younger people, employees.
Okay. And so there's a bit of a combination of some of those. If we're not understanding people, especially in terms of their career path, and if we're in some type of leadership role, having that sort of perspective, how much valuable might that be for our own role as leaders of young professionals? Good one. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Gillian. So let's move on. Having talked about definition of mentoring, why it's important, and specifically benefits for mentees, benefits for mentors. Let's talk about the relationships and what might be important in those relationships. So we're not going to discuss this one, but my proposition would be that in every high quality personal relationship, there are four things which must be present for a good quality relationship. Understanding, appreciation, respect, and trust. And so you might think about if your role is to develop a relationship with your mentee, how might you establish each of those four? So the easy question would be things like understanding and respect, just some, you know, simple human being things, questions, remembering their name, being on time, I think pretty easy things are those. But you might think about the ones with the star on. Right at the beginning, we talked about the benefits of mentee, this is what it's for. But as a mentor, how might you express your appreciation for the mentee? Similarly, there are some people that claim that trust can only be built over years. I dispute that theory. You might think about, especially if you're going to have a quality relationship, how can you build trust with your mentee in your first one or two meetings, first weeks, not waiting years. Now, if you don't think that any of those are important, that's fine. We can agree to disagree. But if you think that all four of those are critical, then you might think about your role as a mentor and how you might actually deliver some appreciation and how you might build that trust. Thinking time. Start with easy ones. Someone I haven't heard from yet. What's one thing we might be appreciative for with our mentee? I can do a show of hands unless you want me to pick on somebody. Easy question. Oh, thanks, Ray. He's coming back for more. Excellent. And I'm really keen. Peel on the webinar, you got the hard question. You got some thinking time. You can screw up your face while you're doing this, and I won't even get to look at you. Think about how you might build trust. Just one thing to build trust with your mentee. While we have it, we'll think, get some contributions on appreciation. What's one thing you might be thankful for your mentee?
Well, I guess just the simple fact that they picked me as a mentor.
Perfect. What a great start. This mentee could have chosen a whole range of other characters. They selected you. So what a good start the first time you meet to start with. Some words like, thank you for inviting me to be your mentor. What a good start for the relationship if you think that appreciation is important. Thanks, Ray. When we've got hard questions, I'll come back to you again. Another thing we might be thankful for, not just picking us, something else we might be thankful for in terms of the relationship that the mentee might do we should be appreciative for? Thank you, Magnolia.
Potentially recognize their strengths. As you have discussions with them and you notice their strengths, it's recognizing those.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and whether it be recognizing improvements in the strengths, or even if it's the first couple of meetings, recognizing existing strengths, that appreciation of that, I think, would be a really good start to the relationship. Because I'm not sure your experience of human beings, mine is that with the exception of 10% of the population who are born arrogant, the other 90% don't actually understand or are confident in some of the things they're good at. So if you quite early playing back things like, you seem really open to my suggestions, or thank you for your honesty, the way you described that as a particular problem you're having, that requires a lot of courage and honesty. Well done on that. So just some of that sort of appreciation, what might that do for the quality of your relationship? Now, that is a rhetorical question. So thoughts about the trust one. How can we build trust early in the relationship? Jess, we got something from the hard question? Excellent.
Hi, Martin. Building trust with mentee, keeping commitment to be mentor, taking time for meetings. From Julie Cook.
Okay, so thank you, Julie. All right, so just some basic things, right? Very first meeting, right? You promised to be there. One way of making sure the trust is there is, as I said, keeping your commitments, being there on time. So right at the beginning, they can trust you to do what you promise. David, something else you can do early to build trust?
Share a secret.
Perfect. All right. What a great way of demonstrating trust early. Don't start expecting the mentee to share some secrets. Offer one about yourself. Such good role modeling. Now, it doesn't have to be high confidentiality about the business place, but even it's couched as something like, look, I haven't told many people this, but the reason I signed up for the mentor program is ... Or even if this, not many people at work know this, but I'm really concerned about the extent to which I'm listening well. So I'm doing this to improve my listening skills, and I'm looking for feedback for you. If you were on the other side of the table for that, what would you be thinking? Well, I'd like to think you'd be thinking, this person already is happy to share openly. Brackets, oh my God, they're going to expect the same thing from me. Right. Jess, we got another one?
From Tim, build trust. Confirm that the conversation is confidential. If necessary, ask permission to raise issues with others that are discussed in the mentoring session. And also from Julian, how to build trust. 1, deliver on what you promised. 2, follow up on action items. And 3, lock in time for next meeting.
Okay, so We've got a couple of that. Let's start with the second one from Julian. So we got a bit about fulfilling the promise, booking the next one. But the second one, if the mentor promises to do something, if it's something like, oh, it's a great TED talk, I'll send you the link. Make sure sometime in the next 24, 48 hours, you send them the link. Right? Make good your promises. And the first one from Tim? Yeah, let's be clear right at the beginning. Right? Rather than make assumptions, let's be clear that all of these conversations will be confidential. You can, don't promise trust, but you can be assured that I take this seriously and point to something else you may have done before to make them even more assured about your being able to trust you. All right. One more and then we'll move on. But
I'd like to say that one of the ways to build trust is basically be a good listener and don't judge.
Perfect. Don't judge. And even if you've got particular values which are important to you, let's not plant our values on them. So if, for example, you're someone who has a strong commitment to the whole balance thing, and you don't think that work is the most important thing in your life, you happen to be working with a mentee who is particularly driven, very happy to stay back, very happy to take on extra projects, 60 hours a week, no problem. It's better to be open and accept that rather than try to coach them otherwise. Their value about the importance of work is simply different to yours. It ain't wrong. All right, so we've got to be careful about doing judgments, all right, if we're going to build trust. Jess, we've got one more.
From Georgina, establish clear boundaries up front. Example, state openly up front what is shared in mentoring conversations will not be passed on to anyone else unless by prior agreement.
Okay, so this is part, again, enunciating clearly what's being agreed here, setting boundaries and brackets trust, stick to them. Okay, let's go back to the program now. So having talked a bit about mentoring broadly in principle, the practical aspect. So this year, we're doing the skills workshop a little further down the track. So the program is already underway. As we've already identified, some people here and probably on the webinar have already been contacted to be a mentor. We also have some other people in the room who are not necessarily in this program, but are already mentors in their workplace. So the only date after today is to ensure with the agreement of your mentee that there is an informal review, normally at about a quarter, so somewhere around, either just before Christmas or in January. Make sure you've got some understanding, and Warwick's going to expand upon the importance of reviewing the relationship. But not only between you, but please expect, if you're registered, is such a strong word, but if you've indicated to the mentoring team that you are, as part of the program, underway, mentee, mentor, then expect a call, and we're just interested in feedback. Because the people put in the Leadership and Career Development Committee, people in the Institute team that are supporting this workshop, they also want to know whether this is being beneficial. So there will be some contact in January to hear how it's going. Warts and all, but hopefully a lot more pleasant, productive, constructive experiences. What else were we going to cover before I throw to Warwick? I'll only do this quickly because some of you are already underway, some of whom it's not. So this is suggestions just for the practical point of view of the mentoring process. You can read more quickly than I can. Underline suggestions only. From past workshops, the people where there's been pushback is, oh, does it have to be monthly? No. But let's make the agreement. But starting with that sort of duration, not so frequent that it's a problem for time or actual work on things, but not so distant if you got what you had agreed. Right? But agree something else. Does it have to be face-to-face? No. After 2013, we got a lot of feedback that, Martin, this is a wonderful communication in the world now. you can set up Skype meetings. Oh my God, what's Skype? So you can set up Skype meetings. So it doesn't have to be face-to-face, and for some people, quite comfortable telephoning rather than sitting down over a coffee, which brings us to the other controversial topic. We suggest business environment for the first meeting to remind people that this isn't a dating service. This is a business experience. So meeting in an office may be a good way of starting. But we've also had people say, oh, we just find it a lot more comfortable informal if we're in a cafe. I'll say, great, if you agree that, that's fine. My concern about cafes is the same as yours. Noisy, hard to control, don't know who's going to pop in, sit next to you, who's going to interrupt. Say, oh, David, must catch up, give me a call, right? In the middle of a serious conversation. So if it works for you, do it. We just talk about suggestions as starting points. Yeah, we're suggesting the mentee is responsible, take some ownership. This is part of their learning about setting up the next meeting, taking the notes. Again, if you're a control freak mentor like me, by all means, right, help the process, but we like to give mentees some responsibility. So you can contest almost all of those, but we just call them suggestions. If you haven't done this before, if you're only just meeting your mentee for the first time, this might be a starting framework about the how for the process. We start off really with all types of good intentions, but good intentions are easily distracted by reality. So here's some of the reality things that might get in the way, most of which you already know, so we'll do it quickly. What barriers might get in the way of your relationship? For everybody claims, most overused word in the world at the moment is busy, but there are people who do have a lot happening in their business life and their other life. There will be some challenges around confidentiality. If it turns out that the person is working in a related field, you might choose to call out. Sometimes the challenges being posed may be problematic, maybe things you're not comfortable with. Maybe that early we're thinking, geez, is this coffee conversations? I can't really see what the benefit. Am I getting a benefit? Are you getting any benefit? Sometimes these things are slow growing plants and require a bit of nurture. Some shoot up really quickly. Sometimes just keeping records, keeping actions, keeping commitments to what we promise is a hard thing when you've got all these other things in your life. Sometimes you're thinking, well, it feels a bit touchy-feely for me. What are we really establishing here? And that might be hard. So all those things might get in the way, and we'll hear from Warwick about some other things that might get in your way. So questions about the program, the nature of relationships. You'll get a chance for questions later if you don't want to take them now. All right, let's talk about the core skills before we talk to Warwick. So just thinking about how you engage mentor to mentee. So from the mentor point of view, what would you suggest are core skills? Okay, so this isn't rhetorical. From the webinar, what's one core skill? Or no, maybe you two in case one of them goes by the time it gets read out. Two core skills for mentors when it comes to interacting with your mentee. Nice, easy question. Who haven't we heard from? Jennifer, in the as I'm looking at it, back left-hand corner, the shy people there. What's your name? Oh, Ricky? One core skill.
Yeah, it will be effective communications.
Okay, effective communication. And if we're going to narrow that down, so who did you just take the microphone from? What's your name?
Sue.
Can we use a bit more detail specifically about effective communication? You got one in particular?
I guess if you're giving advice, make it really specific to the person, not a textbook answer.
Okay, all right. So if we're going to be giving advice, let's make sure it's specific, real, not textbook. Okay, so that would be a good skill, being able to actually deliver something that they could apply in practice. What might be some other skills? Steve.
The obvious one, listening and asking open questions.
Okay, very good. All right, so that's our first two, listening and asking good questions. Right, sometimes I can just get them go and listen, but often it's best to prompt, asking good questions. And as Steve said, those good questions are usually open questions. Difference between saying, is there any problem at work at the moment versus what problems are you experiencing at work? Right? Subtle but effective. Most people is, well, maybe I'm not normal if I've got a problem at work. Asking what problems you're having legitimizes that everybody's got some problems at work, so you're happy to share one. All right, very simple. All right, what else we got? Well, Jess, we got other contributions from the webinar people? No. Okay, so next one, empathy. Lots of different definitions. Mine is empathy is the quality that allows you to A, recognize, and B, identify, and C, share the feelings and emotions that another human being is experiencing. Okay? First, recognize that there actually is an emotion there. Second, identify it with the difference between anger and disappointment. Thirdly, being able to share. Right? So it is, Gloria, you're looking a bit concerned there, right? As opposed to, Gloria, you're looking a bit excited there. Right? So being able to A, recognize, B, identify, C, share. Confidentiality, we've already made some references, obviously a core one, right? This is part of the trust thing. All right, and then three things I want to be able to differentiate if you're a mentor. Be able to differentiate what someone's trying to achieve versus how they achieve it, right? The what versus the how. Right? Is the conversation more about being clear on what they want, or is the conversation more about how they get there? The second one, to be able to differentiate reasons and excuses. It's a third meeting. You think you've agreed with the mentee something they were going to do, perhaps a conversation they were going to have with their boss. So early in the conversation, hey, how'd that conversation with the boss go? Oh, I didn't get around to it. Okay? Now, being able to differentiate what is the reason the boss has been on holidays for the last 4 weeks, so I haven't been able to see her. I think that's a reason. Right? Oh, I've been really busy. That sounds like an excuse. Sometimes it's difficult to differentiate reason from excuse. That's what mentors don't get paid for. So the third one, being able to differentiate when is the time when your mentee needs an answer from you to Sue's point, you know, something quite specific in terms of guidance, or when it's going to actually be better value for them to provide them with some options, or even to prompt them to think about options. I'm not really sure about how I deal with my colleague at work, so-and-so, who just is so meticulous, detailed, perfectionist. How do I deal with someone like that? You could, from your own experience, give a valuable answer practically how to deal with that. You could give them, gee, from my experience, there's lots of ways you could deal with it. Here are a few. Or you could say, well, depends on what sort of person. Tell me a bit more about the person and what options you've already thought about. So being able to judge when to answer, when to prompt versus when to provide some. These are hard things to do, but you guys will get there soon enough. Sometimes being able to match styles, people that speak quickly, be able to match it a bit, that's one of the sort of simple ways. Sometimes it's more about the style. Are they high-level people, detailed people? Are they people that like to write lots of things down? Sometimes just being able to fit in with the way they do things might be helpful. I've already talked about respecting different values in terms of Bo's point and not making judgments. We're going to practice a couple of skills later. This has been mainly theoretical so far. Right? There'll be a theory about the benefits of mentoring, a bit of theory about building a relationship, a bit of theory about skills. So this is an appropriate point where somehow is more experienced, someone's more experienced than me, someone who, as you heard in Gloria's introduction, someone who not only has done mentoring, but coaching experienced CEOs, experienced senior executives. So I'd like to introduce or reintroduce Warwick to give for about the next 10 minutes some of his experience in the reality, the practical nature of fostering these relationships.
Thank you, Martin, and hi to those people in the distance. I hope this is going well for you. We can interact really easily here with people in the room because we can see if they're smiling or not. We're not sure what you're doing. That may be a good thing. Look, what I wanted to do is touch on some of the perhaps touchy-feely or issues that might emerge. And I'm talking here from an experience in coaching many, many people. And so the first thing I think I want to share with you is you have to be prepared for the fact that it may not work. What do I mean by that? Well, for it to work really well, you have to build a new relationship with these people that is not a very common thing to have, a really close working relationship where you trust and work well with people. And so to assume that you can do that with every Tom, Dick and Harry or Mary who rolls along is, I'm sorry, wrong. It's not going to happen. And so the first thing I want to prepare you for is the fact that your new relationship that you try to create may not work. And in my experience, and if I can share with you what I do as I coach senior executive type people, I say at the outset, in a very small number of weeks, we're going to sit across from each other and say, hey, is this working or is it not? And if it isn't, then we say, we're going to stop. And the important reason we need to do that is because invariably it isn't either of your faults. It's just that the chemistry isn't there. And if the chemistry isn't there in a mentoring relationship, it doesn't work. Okay, so this sounds a bit negative, and I don't want it to be negative because I think mentoring is just fantastic, and I'll touch on that later as Martin suggested. But I just want to share with you the fact that you need to start from the beginning knowing that you're going to ask that question fairly early on and make sure that you're happy to continue. And should you decide not to continue, don't feel you failed. You haven't. You just haven't matched with somebody who wants to work comfortably with you. Okay. The other key point I wanted to make was to talk about the mindset that you might like to bring to the table. And if I can share with you from my own experience of coaching, I always imagine I'm like another head on their shoulders. Okay, so it's not me with what I am, it's rather putting another head, my head, on their shoulders, because I'm doing this for and with them for the benefit I can help create for them. This is about them, it's not about me. And so if you imagine you're another head on their shoulders, then that will help you to see it that way and to work in that sort of a model. It's a very personal thing you're doing, you know, and I will be very surprised if there aren't many of you who build here a significant long-term relationship with your mentees, because that happens. You know, it does, and it's excellent, and it's one of the values we've spoken about. And I think, finally, if I can just reinforce the importance of mentoring in the development of somebody. When you first start in a career particularly, so those of you who are mentoring young actuaries, new to the profession, when you first start, it's incredibly daunting. You know, you see what these other people do and you think, wow, how am I ever going to be able to do that? You know, I just can't imagine. It is a really daunting experience. When you go to your first Institute of Actuaries conference, it'll be the same. You look around and think, wow, you know, I'm so out of place. I haven't got a clue what's going on here, you know. And so you need to understand that's how they're feeling. And we touched earlier on the concept of what can you do to build some rapport. And one of the things I'd suggest is think about a personal story you had when you were where they are now and share it with them about how you felt when you first went to something. To admit the fact that you felt like that too and now you're okay and you're even a mentor will make them feel a lot better, and it will also bring them closer to you. Okay, so I think for those of you working particularly with the young people I find incredibly exciting to work with. Not only do they talk a language I don't understand half of the time, but they just bring a new and exciting way to the world. And I think accepting that that's what they're doing, the other thing they're looking for is to say, well, that's fine, but how can I fit in? Help me to fit in, you know, because they want to fit in. And so I think that's a key part. So, Martin, do you want me to take questions now or we do that later?
I think the opportunity to seek your wisdom now is a good one. Just to you to remind the people where we're at. But can you hit the button, click one more?
This button?
No, that's what I've got. Okay, so here's an opportunity for 2 minutes, yep.
Top button, middle button?
That's okay.
Sorry.
We don't have questions. Okay, before we have a practice, what is giving three kind of practical realities about the next relationship?
So what it's giving you three reminders about the practical realities. Anything you'd like to explore, people on the webinar or otherwise, people here, here's your chance. We've got about 3 minutes to seek Warwick's wisdom. Anything he said then that has prompted you, or anything already in your mentoring experience you think, I need some help. Warwick is just the right person to help me. Here's your chance. Questions? Amy?
Hi. Nice to meet you, Warwick. My question is, how do you delicately talk to someone about perhaps unreasonable expectations? You mentioned very new actuaries. Some people are in a big rush to hit milestones that might take a little bit of time.
Yeah. It's very difficult. So I accept. And every time I've tried to deal with something like this, particularly where they're finite number type KPI world, the problem I have with them is they're too well defined and too specific. And so what I always try and do is broaden them in some way and say, okay, well, that's this issue. Let's talk about what it would be if you got halfway there. What would that look like? And how, so if you can try to, and I don't know if this is directly answering your question, but if you can try to expand the narrow specific into something broader, then you can often find steps along the way that will get you there rather than this formidable, mountain on the hill. Martin, do you have anything?
I think that's helpful. I mean, you're thinking in terms of the expectations around like performance, like KPIs, as Warwick was referring to. We're thinking about expectations in terms of careers, achievement, more fussy ones, more fuzzy ones.
Yeah, I think both. You've got these incredibly talented students coming through and you want to encourage that, but sometimes it is just difficult to meet their expectations and to try and... I think what you said about making it a little bit more broad would be very helpful in my situation.
Look, and I think in particular young people today, they're willing to wait till next week, but certainly not the week after. I know I can't be MD this week, but why not next week? And so the same filling out process is what I would use. So if somebody says, okay, look, I want to be running a marathon because it's on next week and I'm going to run. And you say, okay, well, now let's just discuss what are the typical series of steps needed to run a marathon. So you need to do 8 months of training and then you've got to lose some weight and then... I don't think you can do that by next week. It's that style of approach which helps fill out, because it's a mechanism, I guess, to help them come to grips with expectations that are unrealistic because you just can't fit all that in, And so I do the same, particularly with when it comes to how quickly I can be promoted. And I often say to people, there really is no limit. We can see examples around us all the time of people who have done amazing things in amazingly short spaces of time. But if you look deep underneath there, you'll find that they've done lots of hard work, to achieve that. It hasn't come. That 16-year-old who just won the Olympic gold medal in 100 metres freestyle or something didn't get there by starting as a 15-year-old. They started as a 3-year-old and they've been working for, years to get there,
All right, thank you. Jess, any questions from outside the room? Okay. All right, so Steve said he can't wait to practice, so let's get underway.
Thanks, Warwick.
Okay, so let's have a go. So let me give them more of them. So for people on the webinar, if you're sitting with some other people, then you can do exactly the same exercise. If you're watching on your own, I will give you a different task after I explain this one, because I'll need some thinking time. So the people here in the room, you have set this up so well because there are an even number of people in each... Oh, there was. What happened? Did Joe just go? Wait. It was so ideal. We had an even number of people in this row and Joe has disappeared. That's okay. David, would you mind, do you want to play Gloria? Oh, no, David's here. Gloria's here. David, would you, what's your name? Sorry. Dave, would you mind working with Jan? And that will even up pairs. So we've got pairs. Gloria and Warwick and I will observe. So what we thought, we're only going to give you 2 minutes. The person closest to that side, closest person to that side of the room, can you put your hand up? Amy, I think that's you. Yeah, it's okay. Thanks. You're person A. So person A is going to start by listening. You're the mentor, okay? The other person, who by definition is person B, you're going to just have 20 seconds thinking, and you're going to start, your very first sentence is going to be starting with, one thing that concerns me about my workplace is. Okay, so this is clear. So people not in the room I can't see, if you've got someone to play with, two people or three, the other third person observes, choose who person A is, the mentor, and the mentee, they're going to start by saying, one thing that concerns me about my workplace is, and you complete the sentence. It's not very interesting if you stop there, all right? Complete the sentence. And anybody that doesn't have any concerns in the workplace, come and see me, and I want to know where you're working and what you're doing, okay? So one thing that concerns you. So 10 seconds thinking time. Well, I'll give you 20 seconds thinking time for the mentee. For the mentors, this is an opportunity to practice those skills. Now, not a full set, because we're only going to give you 2 minutes. So think about listening, how you kind of demonstrate your listening, and think about how you might respond, different ways of responding, whether it's E for empathy. Gee, that must be a worry for you. Or whether it is some questions, tell me a bit more about that. Or whether it's immediately, you know, there's a couple of things we might think about here. All right, so just think about how you, or for you personally, when you put up the skills, what's a skill that you'd like to practice? So I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and then mentees, your 20 seconds of thinking time is up. Your task at the end will be just provide two elements of feedback to the mentor, what you liked about their listening and what you could suggest they do slightly differently the next time if they're working with you. Questions about the task? Okay, so while you're meditating on that, for people sitting by themselves, your task is to help us out when we come to question time. Thinking about those core skills, listening, asking questions, and the other thing we're practicing, feedback, can you send Jess two things that in your experience people get wrong when they're listening, giving feedback, or asking questions, right? Because that will be really helpful. Because none of the people here will get it wrong. They're going to be perfect. So we're relying on some people from outside the room to come with some ideas about how listening can be done poorly, how questions can be asked badly, and how feedback can be given so inappropriately. We ready to go? So the people, the mentees, the group, person B, you may start. Your 2 minutes starts now. Thank you. Okay, so that's time, ladies and gentlemen. I know you'd love to solve all the problems of your mentee. People are not in the room. All right, so it's time. For the person who just shared their issue, the person playing mentee, 10 seconds, 20 seconds feedback. What's one thing the person did well in listening to you? What's one thing you'd like them to do slightly differently next time? Same for you guys. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Today, feedback needs to be succinct. Okay, so you'll probably guess the way the game's going to be played. We're going to swap roles now. Person who was mentor, you're going to start. But it's not going to be very interesting if we have the same topic, is it? It's not going to be interesting if we have the same topic. So the same people for people on the webinar, those in groups, right? People have got 2-3 people. Change roles, and this time the person who is just the mentor, you're going to start the conversation by starting with, one thing I'm not sure about in my future career is. If there's anybody for whom that's inappropriate, I'm absolutely positively certain about my future career. Come and see me, we'll do a swap. I'll be really interested in what you're doing. Okay, you've got 10 seconds thinking time for the person who's playing mentee. Person who's about to play mentor, you're switching roles based on the feedback you've just given or otherwise. How might you play your role now? Your 2 minutes starts now, mentees. One thing I'm not sure about. Let's do it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen here, ladies and gentlemen there, that's time. So the person who was just playing mentee, the person sharing their problem, your turn to provide feedback for your 2-minute temporary mentor. Again, in what way, one thing they did really well when they were listening to you, one thing you can suggest to do slightly differently next time. Otherwise, we've got five bonus minutes. Okay, thank you for sharing. Feedback itself is a core skill, one we've practiced without any clues on right now. So for the people not in the room that are sitting by themselves, my challenge to you is, in your experience or otherwise, what do people often get wrong when it comes to listening, asking questions, giving feedback? Jess, what have we got?
We have quite a few responses.
Excellent. We love an active remote audience.
So first one I've got is from Julie. She said, things that can go wrong. Interrupting when the mentee is speaking, asking close
questions. Can we do one at a time?
Oh, yep.
Touché to the members of this audience. All right. So, Jess, in future, sorry, I should have made that clear. I apologise for interrupting you. We'll just do them one at a time. Okay, so interrupting. And isn't this so human? They just said something and immediately we've got a great advice or our own story or... No. Let's talk about important things. R for respect, important to listen. Now, if you're like me and you do have these little things popping up, this is why God invented pen and paper, all right? So if you just quickly make a note so you don't forget the point you were really keen to make. Right, try and keep eye contact, and if you have support, can I just catch it? Okay. Next one.
So still Julie, she said asking closed questions.
Okay, and this was Steve's point earlier about open questions rather than closed questions. Right? So we try to make sure. So I heard somebody here tell me more about that, all right? Certainly better than... is that, all right? So good one, yeah. So try, and this, it's a different workshop about opening open questions and asking better questions, but think, be conscious of how you frame your question.
Feedback that criticizes the mentee.
Yeah, okay, so these people coming to you with, you know, some reservations, some apprehension, they've probably got too much respect for you already, you know, because you're a mentor, they're a mentee. So they're going to take you really seriously. So in providing some feedback, anything that you normally call constructive criticism is likely to be received, underlined, critically. All right? So let's make sure that it is put in a positive sense. And most of the time, positive is what to do next time, what you should have done. Right? For most people like me, my time machine is broken. Telling me what I should have done a week ago is not really helpful for me. Right? It's more about what I need to do next week. So think about your feedback in that form, what you do in your next meeting, not what you should have done last week, well, unless they've got a time machine that is operating. Jess, next one.
And the last one from Julie is closed body language that discourages communication.
What do you mean? Now, there's lots of nonsense about body language, but it's mainly changes that people notice. Sometimes people sit like this just because it's colder, they're under the air conditioning vent. Right? It's not necessarily closed. But if you're sitting openly and you suddenly do this, they'll get the message. Right? So just be conscious of what you're doing.
So the next one is from Dennis. He says impatience and prejudgment.
All right, so we had a little bit of conversation already about judgment. Sometimes prejudgment, we're already thinking, oh, she's young, she's inexperienced, that may or may not be true. Right? I'm not sure about members of this audience or people there, but I'm not that good at judging ages. So prejudging someone's experience, age, may set us up completely appropriately. Right? If we're thinking this person, they look like they've only just started work, that would be a prejudgment that could potentially get you into all sorts of trouble. For example.
So from Tim, he says, listening poorly, wanting to jump in to complete the description by the mentee interrupting.
We love the enthusiasm that mentors have to help the mentee express themselves. And especially what mentors are by nature, helpful people. Right? We're not doing it to be bossy. Right? We're just being helpful because we kind of know what they're going to say, don't we? Because we're mentors, we know what they're going to say. So we help them finish the sentence. Zzz, back of the class. Mm-hmm. Right? How do we sit on our hands? How do we remain patient? They're telling us the long version when we know what they're going to get to. We know the shorter version. Who's better at this than me? Who's got wisdom? Who's got Warwick? You're the wise person here. Can you grab the microphone from Jennifer? In your experience, when you're feeling that impatience, can you complete the sentence? What's your advice on this one?
Shut up.
How though? How? When I've got so much wisdom to impart?
Look, it's very, very hard, and I think the most important thing to recognise is this is hard for everybody.
Yeah.
And particularly when, as Martin says, you know what's coming next. You've got to allow the person to have their moment in the limelight. That's what's important.
Yeah.
It doesn't help for you to take it away. It hinders. And so you've got to let them run. It's hard, and particularly for people like me, it's awful.
So, Arjun's great. When I said, I know what they're going to say, that's not true. I only think I know. And so, for most people, the best thing about setting up, the last thing you say to yourself is, this conversation is about them, it's not about me. Jess.
From
thank you, Warren.
Tim, we have responding poorly, turning the whole session about themselves by telling stories continuously about their own experience without actually taking the mentee forward at all.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. You know, I hate that. So one of the workshops I do on listening, we call that autobiographical listening, okay? So you listen and you respond with your story. Now, Warwick used the word rapport. There's a point in the conversation where it may be really helpful to share a similar experience which adds credibility to your guidance and advice, no question. But if everything you hear gets translated in your own stories, a bit like Tim, right? Means not gonna work. Right? So again, the judgment about when sharing my experience is going to be helpful, both for normalising their experience or for establishing credibility, or when it's just autobiographical listening. These are hard things to do sometimes. This is why feedback's important. So we practice mentees giving mentors feedback. Mentees giving mentors feedback. The mentors may not do that all the time. So being able to seek some of that. You know? So we've just had our second conversation together. What's one thing about my listening that I could improve? That's a brave question to ask. But I suspect, A, you'll get some good advice. Secondly, if you're going to be brave enough to ask that question to your mentee, what does that do for the relationship? Jess.
So from Saffron, we have listening poorly, butting in all the time, second-guessing what the mentee is saying. Second point is poor questioning, only close questions, which often means that the mentor thinks they understand the problem and may not be delving into it enough.
Yeah. So I think we covered most of this with the last one. So good word, delving. And again, judgment. How to understand, we use the financial advisor, use the word, how to probe gently, respectfully, and being sensitive to when it looks like this is just getting a bit kind of off limits. But yeah, let's again, rather than just guessing or assuming what the problem is, it is important to, what was the term? Delve gently, effectively, open questions. Good one. Goodness me.
Final comment from Saffron is poor feedback, not being honest, maybe trying too hard to please.
So you can imagine the scenario, you're the mentor, it's the first time you've actually been brave enough to ask a mentee, so how is my listening today? What's one thing I can improve? What do you think the mentee is going to say the first time? Oh, that was great. You were great. You were great, right? I almost guarantee, unless you really set up the relationship well, in fact, a good test of your relationship, I almost guarantee the first time they're going to say, no, great, your listening is great. You've got a choice. You can pat yourself on the back and say, oh, thanks, right? That's what I would do. That's my first. You know, oh, good, thanks. How might you give them permission to tell them what they really think, what they tell you what they really think? Rephrase the question. Right? It says, thank you, I appreciate the compliment. I'm glad you enjoy the conversation. We're going to do this again in a month's time. Surely there's one thing you'd like me to do differently next time. I'd be pretty confident I'll have one thing. Pretty confident. It'll only be a little thing the first time. By the third meeting, they'll tell you some really important things about your listening skills. But let's just give them a second chance by not saying the question again, just by rephrasing it. Good one. Wow, thanks for all those. Now, we didn't have any of those experiences in this room. Everybody did a really good job with their listening skills. I haven't got time. What I'd like, though, I was going to ask, what's one thing that you learned? I mean, the people here, what you learned from the feedback you receive from your mentee. We won't do that sharing. You can just part of the reflection is for you to think about what did you learn in that practice. What did you learn from the imparting, from the listening, and what did you learn from the feedback from the other person? Same for people like that. So just think about if you just had this experience, what's one thing that you will do differently based on what your mentee, sample of one, has just shared? Warwick, in our introduction, we've got one more. Sorry.
All good. Just one more question. So any tips on how to end the relationship if it isn't working?
Okay, so hint. Do not talk to any of my past girlfriends. So what did we learn from Warwick when he was doing the reality of the fact some of these things aren't going to work? So I think first, it requires a little bit of courage and a little bit of honesty. But I think it's first appropriate to normalise it. Right? So be able to say to some of them, when we first embarked on this program, and one of the key messages was that not all relationships are going to be successful. I'm going to ask your view, but I've just got this sense that this isn't working as well for you as you'd like. And see what comes back. But I think it's not working, it's not be definitive, but just, I've just got this sense. And in fact, we're told that a lot of these aren't going to work well. I just think we got one. What do you think? So I think it's some sort of way of introducing the conversation rather than, this is our breakup. Now, please do it in person. Don't send them a text. All right. Still met past girlfriends. No, just kidding. But these are difficult things to have, but all I'd say is if you're turning up for the conversation with a view of suggesting that this isn't working and you're about to go, let's give it one more, right? So what is the... what's the downside of continuing on in terms of wasting your time, their time, aggravation, starting to lose sleep at night? Warwick.
If I could just add that it also helps if you've introduced that subject at the very beginning.
Yeah.
So if when you first meet, you say, look, we are going to have this conversation as often as we need to, and we need to be honest with each other. And so right now we're all really keen and happy and hope this is going to work. Let's acknowledge we're going to do that, and should that happen, we'll both remain friends, but we'll just move on. And so if you've done that in advance, then it makes it a lot easier if and when you have to act.
Yeah. Oh, I should have. Warwick is so clever. What a great way of having a conversation in 3 months' time by giving yourself permission to do it when you first meet. Okay, so that's all from me. Thank you very much for playing. Very much appreciate it. I'm just going to throw to Warwick to take a higher level view of mentoring. We've talked about benefits, what it's about. Benefits for you, but there might be another dimension here before we go to Gloria. I'll get out of your way.
Thanks again, Martin, and thank you all for coming. And really what I want to say now is congratulations, firstly, in embarking on something that for you was going to be really important. And I wanted to share with you how I perceive how important this is and for you to take it on board. And we've already heard Gloria explain that there's lots of benefits in this for you as a mentor and lots of benefits for the mentee. And that's true. And so you should all be feeling good that this is going to be a good experience. We've also heard from Gloria that the Institute CEO would be really pleased as well because it ticks three boxes in the strategic plan, and we all know how important that is. And so, that we should feel good about the fact that it's doing that. I'd like to add another dimension. And I'd like to just imagine what it's like for somebody who's a student at high school or early in the university and thinking of the profession that they might join. And if they heard that the actuarial profession, in fact, has literally hundreds of people who mentor their peers when they first arrive and volunteer to do it again multiple times throughout their career, then do you think it might help them to influence them to become an actuary? I think it would. So I think we're actually embarking on something here that's much bigger than we might think it is, because it has the potential to significantly enhance the volume of people who'll say, that's a group I want to join. I want to be part of that. because very few other professions have anything that gets anywhere near it. This profession has a massive volunteering capability, and you would have recently witnessed, and it was in the publications, the Volunteers of the Year and whatever being given credit, and the sort of contributions these people are making is gobsmacking. Absolutely amazing, and you're now part of that team. So thank you for deciding to come along. Enjoy the journey and know that you're in fact making a significant contribution to the profession as a whole. So thanks.
Thank you, Warwick. What a wonderful wrap to this session. And big thank you to both Martin and Warwick for a really practical and useful session. I'm sure we all have lots of wonderful tips and practical things that we can apply in our current mentoring relationships as well as future mentoring relationships as well. Just to touch on a little bit of the Q&A we had just then around the question of if the relationship doesn't work out, from an institute perspective, if you've tried all you can in terms of trying to make that particular relationship work and it still doesn't work and you would like to have another mentor to try it out, feel free to email the institute and we'll try our best to source from our pool of mentors somebody else who might suit your criteria and we can try that as well. So you're not alone in this. We're here to help you. In the next few minutes, I just want to cover a new development for the mentoring program next year. For those who attended the mentoring program information session earlier this year, you might recall we unveiled a very exciting new development for our program next year. So that is the mentoring app. So we've been working very closely with the app developers, one of whom is here today, Joseph Daly. And he's going to tell us more about the app in the next few minutes. But before I hand over the time to him, I'll just introduce Joe to you. So Joe is a GM of Value, Profitability and Pricing at TAL. He's got a PhD in statistics. He's an FIAA and an FSA. He's worked in a number of different cities, and along the way he's had some great mentors who've helped him shape his career and key life decisions as well. And he's looking to empower everyone with this mentoring experience. So over to you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. I think the last one is here.
We need a mic.
Okay.
The recording and the people.
Thank you, mate. So I think some of the recent comments from Warwick really, really resonated with me. A little bit about my personal story. I'm originally from Central Queensland. I think I'm the only actuary from Central Queensland ever. But the point there is the pathways and opportunities and who do you talk to? What is an actuary? That didn't exist for me. So I took a number of steps and spoke to a number of people and eventually found my niche. So what I'd like to do is take some of those lessons I've learned from mentors in Australia and really try and supercharge the experience for everyone. It just takes a moment to load up. So what we've developed is a neat little solution that we like to call Connect. Yeah. And effectively, it's an experience sharing and mentoring network in the palm of your hand. Let's see. Did the app actually load up? So here's a bit of a snapshot of what we've come up with. Where is the mouse? So my tech partner's not here. Yeah, I just can't see the app. You want to drive? Maybe you can drive. Yep. Where's the mouse? Oh, okay. So everyone's probably familiar with a setting like this. Everyone's seen LinkedIn. Everyone's seen a few apps like eHarmony. Think the best of everything. So my wife's looking at me crazy because I've got things like Tinder and eHarmony and everything on my phone. Because I'm trying to learn from the best of them and really carve out a little niche for professionals to share experience. Yeah. So imagine, what if we could earn CPD points? What if there was a nice, simple way to connect with mentors, to connect with mentees, to connect with peers, or just simply search and share experience? Yeah. It's an interesting one. As we were going through a whole lot of research and designing the app, what we found was that the traditional notion of a mentor is evolving. Sometimes people just need help to get to that next level in that stage of their career. Sometimes they need help with a difficult situation like a professional or ethical issue in the office. So it's really good insights coming back for us. So let's sign in. Pretty similar. We've tried to make the user experience similar with what works and what's really easily used. And here's a bit of an example. This is I'm Charlotte today. So what we've done is we've tried to get the right balance of a little bit of tailoring, just to get to know you over and above what you might have in LinkedIn or things like that, just to really bring the matching algorithm to life. And it's quite quick and it's quite easy. This side's a bit clunky, but... Here's an example. What it'll do is go out and it'll bring back, in this case, the big M at the top means we're looking for mentors. Yep. So your mentor match of your 70% is probably saying, this is pretty good, but not the best possible option out there. So one of the things there this does do is it brings back choice. Yep. And the important part there is that choice evolves with you as your journey goes. As your profile updates and your skills update and what you're looking for in a mentor changes, the app constantly brings back appropriate choices for you as you grow. So we'll go through a bit of an example. For example, Max might not be the best match because he's probably a little bit too senior in this example. So the other piece that's really, really exciting is we're partnering with the Institute with the data that's coming out of their mentor program, and we're actually calibrating the app so that it matches pretty closely. So it gives us all a great deal of confidence. What's another example? Deanne. And then perhaps you can look at, okay, here are my conversations. It's a great way to remember and communicate and hear your conversations. It's also a great way to know if the mentoring's working. Yep. When you have physical face-to-face, you can't see if the connections are working. So it's a great way to know how to fire things up and how to spark things. I look at my potential networks. You can see your peers. I look at my profile. I have the ability to control what's on my profile and how much I want to share. I can also tailor and filter. Let's say I wanted to drop in and I say, okay, I just wanted to chat to someone in Capital. All the fun stuff. Oh, did that work? Yep. And it brings me, a little bug. That's okay. Everyone gets the idea. Yep. Everyone gets the idea. So think the best of eHarmony. The best of Tinder with its simplicity to bring down that friction and actually open up that ability to have that first conversation. One of the things we found is, as we're doing our research, some additional screenshots, we really want to empower people to break down knowledge barriers and share experience. And these are some of the challenges we were feeding back from some of the people. I'm sure people who've done the physical face-to-face mentoring will have come across some of these. This was a big one. There's a bit of a stigma asking for help, yeah? Potentially increasing the attraction of making a mentor, of being a mentor. It encourages people who are typically younger to want to help, yep. So I'll let the audience read for themselves, but I see a lot of potential opportunity. So this is where we get to be a little actuarial for a while. There's a pretty cool evolutionary algorithm sitting underneath. So the key part is it gets a lot of information and it layers the network based on experience. So as you're looking for your network, as you're looking for your mentor, it helps you find your way up the ladder and vice versa. And if you're looking for a peer, it helps you look laterally across the network. The evolutionary part's quite cool in that, for example, for every 10 matches, it throws a little spanner in the works. It throws a little mutation in the works and brings back someone outside your natural subgroup. So it's pretty cool. And here's a bit of an example of the experiencing layering. Imagine someone in high school going, what university degree do I want to do? Imagine if they could speak to people who are studying actuarial science going, what is it really like? And then you've got everyone in university. What if they could speak to first, second, third year actuaries all across the industry? That's why I think professional bodies are so powerful, because you cut across the whole industry very quickly. And you can see how it goes up. So let's connect.
Thanks, Joe. That's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to the launch. So the launch should be expected to be happening next year, so 2018. So look out for that. There'll be an exciting new addition to the mentoring program.
If anyone has any suggestions on how to make it better or any concerns, I mean, there are things to work through, like privacy and mentoring. Particularly out of this mentoring group, we'd love to get feedback.
We just want help to make it better.
Yep. Is that exclusive to the Actress Institute?
It is for now. So the way it's being built is that it's a closed system. So if it was to go with, say, CPA Australia, that would be built as a closed system unless both entities wanted to open it up and cross-pollinate. Yep.
Any other questions for Joe in the meantime, either from the floor or from the webinar attendees? Great. Okay. Well, let's just give a round of applause to Martin, Warwick, and Joe. So thank you, everyone, for coming along today. As I mentioned at the beginning, this session has been recorded. So the actual recording, the slides, as well as any other materials from the mentoring program will be made available online. Just a quick reminder to fill out the mentoring agreement forms and send it into the Institute if you have started your mentoring agreement, if you've started your mentoring relationship, because we are really keen to know that you have started. And secondly, on CPD points, you will get CPD points, so don't forget to log those CPD points on the Actuaries Institute website as well. So thanks, everyone, and enjoy your mentoring experience.